Windows or doors sticking? Cracks in your drywall or brickwork? These can be signs of a structural foundation problem. PermaSeal can help with that. Free inspections, transferable warranties, financing, and peace of mind. PermaSeal, 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
ThinkLink.com and the Love, Money, and Real Estate newsletter. How are you today, Elise?
Oh, it's a lovely Thursday. I mean, who doesn't love end of November and 50-degree weather?
I hate it. I hate when it's 45 to 50 and misty. Oh, yuck, cloudy. Who's buying homes these days? I saw that at the top of your news list.
Well, not as many people who want to be buying homes, which is kind of interesting. So one of the things that came out of the National Association of Realtors' recent profile of home buyers and sellers is that the median age for a first-time home buyer is now 40. It's 62 for a repeat buyer. And the average, overall average of all home buyers out there is 59, which just shows you how many older Americans are buying than younger Americans. Now, in terms of numbers, this year, today, the realtors announced that just about 4 million homes are going to be sold this year. 4 million is a number that 25 years ago, we were selling 4 million existing homes in a year. So you're talking about when we should really be more like 6 million plus, given the size of the population, just 4 million are going to buy or sell a home.
Okay, so those 62-year-olds that are a repeat buyer, probably downsizing, right?
Well, you would think so, but not necessarily. Some of them are downsizing. Some of them are upsizing, just deciding in retirement they really need more space to be away from their spouse, right? Now that they're both home more. And they're also seeing one of the fastest growing segments is multiple families buying homes together. And by that, it's really multiple generations of the same family. So you might see grandparents, parents, and kids buying a 5-bedroom house together because it's more affordable.
Interesting. That's really how it's done in many parts of the world, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, what we're doing in the United States is kind of playing catch up, I think, a little bit in that respect. But if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. You know, caregiving has become extremely expensive. There are a lot of seniors out there who need care more every day. And this is a way for families to sort of put things together, take care of their older relatives while the older relatives still can help take them care of the youngest generation.
I saw a quote yesterday from Rosalind Carter, and it said there are only four kinds of people in the world: those who have been caregivers, those who are caregivers, those who will be caregivers, and those who will need caregivers.
Well, it's a great quote, obviously, because so many of us are now aging and we want to age in place. Also, for seniors, you know, they don't want to give up their wonderful homes that have 3% mortgages on them right now. And so you're also seeing people who are moving into those homes so that they can stay in place.
So what did you think about the 50-year mortgage? If the average, or I guess the median age, is 40 for the first-time home buyer, that's putting them at 90 by the time they pay off their house, if they're still alive.
I'm so glad you asked me about that. I ran the numbers on on 50-year mortgages. And here's the thing. The difference between a 30-year mortgage and a 50-year mortgage for a $400,000 mortgage, right, at 6%, the difference is about $300 a month. Okay, so that's a savings for sure. And I'm not discounting the fact that every $300 matters to people's budgets. It does. However, over the life of the 50 years, you'll pay $250,000 more to have that 50-year mortgage, which, as you point out, is basically lifelong. You know, you could buy a house in 25 and 75, you're paying it off. That just seems kind of silly. Most of us don't know when we're 25 where we want to live, how we want to live, how much space we're going to need, how many kids we're going to have, if we're even going to have them, and if we're still living in the same place. And so this idea that a 50-year mortgage is going to solve everything, Lisa, I think it's one of the silliest.
It's silly. Because, first of all, you're not going to be making the money you're making at 80 or 90, if you are lucky to live that long, that you were in your 40s. And the other thing is, we're not winning from that. Yeah, we're paying a little less every month, but who's the big winner? You just said, whoever financed your loan, the bank, the mortgage company.
Yeah, there's no question that there's no winning for the buyer, because if you look at a 50-year amortization schedule, which I did, after the first 10 years on 50-year amortization, maybe you've got $10,000 or $15,000 in equity. Like, just nothing. When you're a third of the way through a 30-year mortgage, you know, you're not going to be halfway done or a third of the way done, because that's not how amortization schedules work. But you're certainly going to have more than, like, say, $8,000 or $10,000 in equity. I mean, think about it. Your money would, if that's the case, you might as well just rent the cheapest place you can find and put the rest into a savings account or an investment. But if you want to buy a house, and it's so many people do, you know, go for a different kind of a loan. You know, go for the 30-year fixed. If you can't afford a 30-year fixed, look at a variable rate, an adjustable rate mortgage, ARM. Those can be another way for you to get in with a little bit lower interest rate.
And more single females are buying homes versus single males?
This was so interesting to me. So when you look at some of the distribution of who is actually buying homes, what you see is that way back in 1981, 73% of buyers, of all home buyers, were married couples. Today, that number's dropped to 61%. It's not at the low, but it's pretty close to the low, which is just below 60%.
How long
is it?
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, on the other hand, for single women, back in 1981, only 11% of all home buyers were single women. Today, that's 21%. It's almost doubled, which is great.
Well, in 81, women, it was still difficult for women to get loans, wasn't it, without a male's name on that loan paper?
Absolutely. And also credit cards.
Right.
Very, very difficult to get your own credit. And if you got divorced, boy, were you sunk.
Yeah. How long is it taking for people to sell a home or buy a home these days?
It's going pretty quickly, actually. So what you're seeing is that the average number of days in the market is somewhere around 43, I think. I'm not actually looking at the number right now, but I think that's what it said. You know, it's basically taking about 44, 45 days to, so a month and a half, maybe 2 months, to find a house and then, you know, land that house, close on that house. It's all happening very quickly. One of the things to take a look at month over month, while there's a slight uptick in the sales of existing homes, there's only 1.5 million homes on the market today. That's only equivalent to about a 4.5 month supply. So even though in some pockets, in some neighborhoods, it feels like buyers are more in control, all across the country, still sellers, especially in Chicago, sellers are in force. We have a seller's market.
Well, good news for people who want to get their house on the market. Tell everyone how to get your newsletter.
I'd be happy to. So you can go to my website, thinkglink.com, or if you're familiar with Substack, you can sign up for my free newsletter. It's called Love, Money, and Real Estate. You can find it at glink.substack.com.
Happy Thanksgiving, Elise.
Oh, Lisa, same to you and to all of our listeners.